Ketsuvim, as long as the amount is Ketsuvim, we know exactly how much the amount is. V'yafo pi shenin Ketsuvim, even though it's not written down, maybe also. So Rashi says the Chiddush here. Rashi wants to say, V'yislein, this time of the Gemara he holds, the milval peh, she Ketsuva, tofim im mishabdi. A milval peh, even though the money, that when you lent the money, you did not write it down in the shtar, still the lachridge you could collect as long as it's Ketsuvim. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos learns, not like that. Tosfos learns that Gemara's all over like that, that when you lend money, val peh, that you don't write it down in the shtar, you cannot collect from Mishabadim. So therefore, Tosfos learns, here we're not talking about a milva. We're talking about other halachas when you have to pay back, when you have a chiyuv to pay back the money. Whether it's knas, whether it's a mazon nebita, in such cases there, the question is, if it's katsuv, if we know the exact amount, maybe that's enough. But for sure, when you just lend somebody money, that's always the halacha that you can't collect from Mishabadim unless it was written down in the shtar. That's called milva b'shtar. Otherwise, for sure, you can't. But that's the question. According to the Chanina, do you need two things, the exact amount and written down, or is just Ketsuvim alone enough? So Tashma, come and bring your proof. The Itma we learned. Mi shemes. The father died, the niach shtei bonus, and he left over two daughters, Uben and one son. So the loch arizmi, the raisa, the son yashin zolden echosim, and the rabbonin though, the daughters have a right to get them the zaynis, or else one-tenth of the property. So we'll see. That's what would be, when the daughters get married, so for the nedunya, for the present-like, they're allowed to take one-tenth of the property. That's a din with rabbonin. So what's going to be the case where the father died and left over two daughters and one son? Now, the first daughter, when she got, right before she got married, she took one-tenth of the property. And the second daughter, she didn't get married yet, so she didn't get a chance yet to collect her one-tenth. And Shemesa ben, so what happened then was the son died. So now what happens when the son dies, and he doesn't have any children, so the property goes back now to the two daughters. So Allah Rizom Rabbi Yechanan says, Shaniya, the second daughter now, Vitra. She like gives up, she doesn't have a right to say, first let her collect her one-tenth of the property, and then they'll divide up equally. We don't say that. But rather, she doesn't collect her one-tenth separately, but rather the property, all that's left now by the son, the two daughters, to make a chaluka, divide it up equally. The Yom Rabbi said, it was even said a bigger chiddush than that. It was said, that we collect, we take out, question is from the Shabbatim, we take out for parnosa to feed them, but we do not take out lemezoinus. So Rashi says, Moitziyin means miyad halakuchas, v'yistala parnosa. And let's say the son now, in the first case, where the father died, and left over two daughters and a son. So now the son now, let's say he sold the property, and then one of the daughters get married, so she has a right to collect one-tenth of the property. She could even take that away from the lekuchas, what the brother sold already. And Rashi says, even though before she gets married, that is a takona, that the daughters have a right to collect their mezoinos from the brother, that they can't do from a shabbat. So that's Taloch, again, Rav Yechon is saying that Chalina, G'dayla Mizuamru, Moitzi and the Parnasa, that we take away from the Shabbatim, even if the brother sold all the property, we could take it away for Parnasa, we could take it away. And those Parnasa means the one-tenth that the daughters have a right to take before they get married. But V'yein Moitzi and the Mizuamru, but before they get married, that there's a takana, that the daughters have a right to collect mezoinos from the nechassim, that's only what the sons have, but not if they sold it. The Yatamat, and you're telling me now, Shniya Vitra, that the second one is Mavata, gives it up. In other words, since you see that for this panosa, this one-tenth, we even let you take it away from property that was sold already, to see how strong this chiyuv is, so for sure over here, where the second daughter did not collect it yet, she does not give it up. She still wants to collect her one-tenth first, if she gets married, and then they'll divide the leftover equally. Now, Vopanoso, this that the daughters before they get married has the right to take one-tenth of the property, Vopanoso, to make its kaitza. That's considered like it's an exact amount. We know exactly they have a right to take one-tenth. But Nichtav like Siva, that's not written down anywhere. And still we just said, Vokomoitsiya, and still we said the lachar is they have a right to collect it, even from a shabbatim. In other words, if the brother, when he yashened the father, right away went and sold all the property, and then the daughters get married, they have a right to take away from the lekuchas, from the people that bought it, they have a right to take away one-tenth of the property. So even though this chiyah for the daughters to get one-tenth for then the dunya, for their, we call dowry, well, we see even though it's not written down anywhere, but since we know exactly how much it is, you could be maisi from the lekuchas. So who would have a right, according to Rabbi Chanina, that it should be enough, the fact is ksuvim, even though it's not written down. So Gemara says no. Shani panosa. Panosa, this that the daughters have a right to take a dowry of one-tenth of the property, is different. Kiva and the Yisle Koyla command the like everybody knows about this. The Koyla goes out, everybody knows when the father dies, he left over daughters. And everybody knows when the daughters get married, before that they have a right to take one-tenth of the property for the dowry. So that's considered as if it's written down. Though my love Bishtar, everybody knows about it. These Chiyuv and me, everybody knows about it also. So therefore here it's good. Since the Chiyuv is exact and written, and everybody knows about it, here for sure you can take away from the Lekuchas. But other places where nobody knows about it, maybe you can't. Mosiv Rav Huna Bar Manoach, he asked a question like this. It says, Meisu b'noisayim, Meisu b'noisayim nisoynis minachosim b'nechorim. So Meisu here goes on a case where the two fathers died. We'll soon see. Meisu is b'noisayim, is the daughters, nisoynis gets minachosim, minachosim b'nechorim, only from the property left over. V'hi, but she, Nizoinis from the Chosim Mishabodim. She can even collect from the Chosim Mishabodim, Bevnei Shika Balaschoyf, because she's like a Balaschoyf. So Rashi says like this, Meisa Benoseya means Hanoisa Yasisha. If a man marries a wife, Uposki Imoy, and the wife already had a daughter from before, from a different marriage, so when the new husband takes them both, he makes a psak, like he agrees, to feed the daughter for at least 5 years. That was his achrayis. He was mechayiv himself to feed her for 5 years. And then the girsha b'toy chomishonim. The first husband gave his wife a get within the 5 years. So the husband, ex-husband, still has to feed her for the next, let's say, 2 years. Then the nisayis liyachar. Then the mother got married to another husband. Oposki my kumaykach. And the second husband also said he'll feed her for 5 years. It's chayiv lezayna chomishonim. So the two husbands now have a chiyuvah to feed the daughter. So one gives her food, the other one wants to give a double amount of food, it'll just be wasted. So the second one has to give her the paycheck. Now, so let's say the two men died, is the daughter still has a right to collect from both of them, only from the property left over. And like it says in the Mishnah, that the daughters don't get fed from Mushabadim. But he, Rashi says, Oysa Bas Ishtoi. But the original Bas Ishtoi, Nizainis Menachasim Mushabadim. She collects from the Chasim Mushabadim. The Bas Ishtoi. So Rashi says, Alma Kivon the Kaitzi Chomishonim. Since the husband originally made up, he's only going to feed her for 5 years. Afagav like Siva, it's not written down, still she collects from Mishabadim. In other words, his own daughter, that it's not only for 5 years she gets fed, but for the rest of her life, if she wants, so then she can't collect from Mishabadim. Only over here, that the husband originally agreed only to feed his stepdaughter for 5 years, then we say when the husband dies, she could collect even from Mishabadim. So why? You see, because here it's Ketuvim. Like, since it's only a 5-year guarantee contract, so 5 years is ksuvim, she could collect, even though it's not written down anywhere. So you also see that you can collect from as long as it's ksuvim. Sumara says no. Hocha b'mayaskin, you know what we're talking about over here. Vishakonu miyodai. that they made a kinyan involved. And the Klal Rashi says, "Ustam kinyan l'ksiv oimid." Anytime they make a kinyan, minastam, it's like it's written down. So the husband made a kinyan to his daughter, stepdaughter, that will feed her for the next 5 years. But the Mori Hochi, if so, bonos nam, even his own daughters should be the same way then. If he made a kinyan, so it's like written down already, so he should also collect from a shibodim. Sumara says no, bishop konel azev, la konel azev. The husband only made a kinyan for his stepdaughter and not for his own daughter. Sumara says, my piskos, well, why do you say that? Why should you say he made a kinyan for one and not for the other? Sumara says, poshid. Bas ishtoi dehevei b'shas kinyin manilei kinyin. I'll tell you, the stepdaughter was when he married his wife, but she had a daughter ready from before. So the time with the chasna, he had the daughter ready. Therefore, when he makes the kinyin, it helps. But bito, his own daughter, that's first come out from his own wife now, dehevei b'shas kinyin. She wasn't alive yet when they first got married. Therefore, le manilei kinyin. He doesn't make a kinyin like later on. He only makes a kinyin by the time he gets married. So the kinyin only helps for the stepdaughter that he has already, and not for his own daughter that he'll first have later on. So Mari asks, who said that? Mila Yaskina, can we be talking about Tehevei Tavaya Vashas Kinyan? Maybe both daughters, his wife's daughter and his own daughter, could both be there at the time when he marries his wife. How could that be? If you're first marrying your wife, how could you have your own daughter there? Vechidomi, where's the case? The Girsha, that first you were married to her and you had children, and then you gave her a get for your hodra, and now you take it back again. So by the second kiddushin, it's your own daughter, and so then you can make a kinyan then that you accept to feed her. So why do you say now your own daughter, you don't make a kinyan? Only for the stepdaughter you make a kinyan. Why should that be? So my answer is like this. Ela bi toidibitanai bezdin kochlo lemahanyula kinyan. I tell you, your own daughter, that's a tanai ksuba. Even if you don't speak it out, it's automatic. That your own daughter, that's halacha, that if the father dies, the daughter has the right to collect mezonos from his property. Therefore, the kinyan doesn't help, or you don't make a kinyan. Mashenkein bas ishtoi, that if you marry your wife that has a daughter already, the lav betanai bezden kochla, there's no chiyah for you to feed her. If you don't make up a special agreement, when you marry your wife, the stepdaughter you don't have to feed. Therefore, manula kinyan. Therefore, we say if the husband does make a kinyan, here the kinyan helps, it's like his ksuvim. So Gemara asks why. But again, if the husband now made a kinyan, so v'chimig ragorer, is it any worse the fact that you have to feed your daughter because of a tanai ksuba? Like, so what if you have to feed her anyway? But now that you're making a kinyan, the kinyan should help even by your own daughter. So Gemara says like this, the Svar is like this, Ella rather, Bitoi, your own daughter, Kivun de Betanai Bezdin Kochlom, that she has the right to be fed later on after the husband dies, is not only because he made up the Chiv now, he agreed, but he has a Chiv upon Bezdin, the Tanai Ksubi has to do it. So therefore, a person thinks into that Chiv much more, and then there's a Chshash, maybe, Eimot Tzrori Yatfasom. We have to be afraid maybe the father gave her over money to hold when he was still alive. Like his own daughter, that he knows he has to feed her because of a tanai ksuba, he thinks about that chiyah very much. So before he died, they have to be afraid maybe he gave her a bag of money to feed herself with. So that's why she can't collect from a shemadim. Mashenkin, a stepdaughter, there he doesn't think about that much. So therefore, sure, he did not give her the money before he died. Therefore, if the husband made a kinyan, it could be of 2 milas. A kinyan means it's like written down, and it's ksuvim, it's only for 5 years. So therefore, she could collect even from a shemadim. Tashima, come in here. Amar Rav Nosson, Nosson said, Amosai, when do we say the lachan our missionary is again? When the gazlin sold the property. And the person that bought it made it well, and there were a lot of fruits because of him. Then when we found that it was stolen goods, everything was taken away. So this person that bought it now comes back to the gazlin and says, listen, the fruits were taken away from me, you have to pay me for it. So we say when you collect the money for the fruits, only the property the gazlin has, and not just the chosin that he already sold. But Rav Nosson says like this, Amosai, when do we say that? Bizman shekodam mekhoi shosheni leshvacha shorishin. If the gazlin sold his property to the second person before the first one, the stolen goods, before the first guy even made the shmach, like seeded his ground. Abba, but what's going to be? Like this, the Goslin stole property, and he sold it to Reuven. And Reuven right away went down and put seeds into the ground. He was mashpiach the karka. Abba called them shivcha sharishan. If Reuven first seeded the ground and put a lot of shmach, made the ground good. That happened before the Goslin sold his own property to a third person. Koidem lemetcha shoshniya. Before the Goslin sold his second property to another person. Now, goivim and achasim mishabadim. Now this Reuven, when it's found out that it was stolen goods, so he has the right to go back to the Goslin and say, listen, you owe me for the fruits of my property. So Goslin says, I have no more achasim left, I sold it already. We say, nothing doing, you sold it, I have a right to take it. So Alma, what do we see? The only reason is, mishum deloy kodim, who? Only why? Because it didn't happen first. But master, if it would have happened first, then you could collect it. Even though it's not kotzuf. So here you see, even though it's not kotzuf, still you could take it. So it's a new svara. So Rashi learns, v'loy mishum ketzuvim uksuvim. We see the reason why the Mishnah said you can't collect from a Shabbatim is not because it has to be an exact amount, not because it's not written down, but a new svara here. Mishum t'lekodim, since you weren't first. That's the way Rashi learns. So Toiz doesn't like Rashi's pshat, we'll soon see why, but Toiz learns rather what it means to say is, to have a chanina ketsuvim, he owes ketsuvim alone is enough, even though it's not written down. Because the Bizmani says, Shekodan Shrava Sharishain, that blies Hainu Ketsuvim. If the person that bought it puts the value into the fields first, then it's as if it's Ketsuvim. We know exactly how much Shvach he put in. So we're bringing a proof now, Chanina holds, Ketsuvim alone is enough. And now the Gemara says, maybe no, Tanoi, I tell you, it's a Machlegas Tanoim, Tanoihi, where the Ketsuvim, the fact that you have the exact amount, that's enough. Or do you need two things, exact amount with written down? The Tanya we learned. Ein moitzia l'achilas peros l'shvach ha-koyis l'mozun isha v'yaboros m'nechosu m'shibodim. Like the Mishnah says, you cannot collect from a Shibodim kaka that was sold already to collect all these things. Why not? Mefnei tikkun olam. One learns because it's a tikkun olam l'fi sheng suvim, because they're not written down. So mashm, as soon as they're written down, that alone is enough. Omer of Yosef, Yosef says no. V'chimat tikkun olam yesh mezu. What kind of corner is that? V'aloy ein ketsuvim. He holds the reason is no, because it's not ketsuvim. We don't know the exact amount. To see it's a machlokes tanoim, what's the reason in the Mishnah you can't collect from the Shemodim? Is it because the peiros is not written down? Or is it because it's not ketsuvim, we don't know exactly how much it is? The nafka meter is, when we do know how much it is, even though it's not written down, could you collect from a Shabbatim or not? Then the last case of the Mishnah was, v'hamoytzim mitziyah le'yishova. If somebody finds a lost object, and he goes to return it to the owner, even though the owner wants him to swear, he doesn't have to swear. The case would be a case of moytzim b'miksas, where you're agreeing halfway. So it sounds like this. Omer Rav Yitzchak, shneik kisin kishurin matzosali. The owner says, listen, you found two wallets that were tied together. In other words, I lost two wallets that were tied together. The person that found it says, no, I only found one of them. So in such a case, he called the Moedib Amiksas. And the person that lost it says, listen, I lost two wallets tied together. So if they were tied together, they don't get untied by themselves. So now that you found one, there's a good chash to say the other one you're keeping. Therefore, Nishba. Says Nishba, you have to swear, it's called the Moed B'Miksas. But what's going to be? Shnei Shvarim Keshurim Atzotali. Where the owner says, Yishno, I lost two axes that were tied together. And you found both of them. And therefore, I want both back from you. La'aloyem, the other one says, no. La'ihoyelechad. When I found it, they only found one. The other one, vice versa, Stam got lost by itself, because they got untied by themselves. Here we say Ena Nishpa. Here we believe we don't have to swear. My time, what's the reason? Shvarim menatchim adodi. Oxes could get untied, they move around. So therefore, the fact the owner says that when you found it, there were still two together, that's a big doubt. That's not called a good complaint. Because you don't know for sure at the time when the person found the two axes, they were still tied together. It could be they pulled aside and they got all separated. So therefore you don't have to swear. Mashenken kisin loy menatchim adodi. Two wallets, if they were tied together, don't get untied. So when the guy found one wallet, and he's returning it now, and you have some money, you know it's your wallet. So you have a good taina now, Tim, a good complaint against him, and say, listen, I say you found them both together, because that's the way I lost it. And obviously you found it, because the one you give me back is mine. So have a good time, a good complaint to say, the other one you have by you, you for sure found them the same way I lost them tied together, and you for sure found them tied together, and you're keeping one for yourself. So that's called the good complaint, and therefore since he agrees to half of the taina, that's the klal, moida b'miksas, whenever you agree to half of what I ask for, that shows that I'm telling the truth, and therefore you have to swear to me. Now, what about Shnei Shvarim Kishurim Matzasa? I say you found two axes tied together. V'alayim, and the person says, I agree to you. Matzasi, it's like it's true. When I found the two axes, I found them both tied together. But v'yachzati l'chvechad mehen. But you know, one of them I returned to you a month ago. I'm returning to you the second one now. V'alayim, and the other one says, no. Matzasi... And the other one is saying, no, I didn't receive anything from you. This is the first one you're returning. So if I say you have the second shor, and the other one says, no, I already returned it to you. So again, Hareza Yishad Nishpa. In such a case, he has to swear. Because again, it's a case of Moed Miksas. I say you have my two axes. And you agreed you had them. You just said you already returned one before. And I said nothing, no, I never received it. That's called the good case, you have to swear. So Mari has the kasha and Rabbi Yitzchak. For Rabbi Yitzchak, lestle amaitzi mitziya, ma'amaitzi mitziya, lo yishova mivnei tikkun olam. Why doesn't Rabbi Yitzchak agree to our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says there's a new takana that whenever you find a lost object, you don't have to swear. Like we said, otherwise people won't go bothering picking up objects. If they may have to swear about it, it's not kedai to return it. So Mishnah tikkun olam, we always make it easy for a person that's found the lost object, when he goes to return it, we don't make him swear. So how come Rabbi Yitzchak says that certain cases, when it's a good taina, we do make him swear? Of course, not like our Mishnah. So Mara says, I'll tell you who the Yom HaKrablos